8, Billy got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the 7th grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time to come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us till this country that we love's undivided.
Yep.
Welcome back. All right. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Friday, July 2nd, 2021, Independence Day. What? I explained in the first hour. And the explanation includes John Adams' letter to his wife Abigail, July 3rd, 1776, in which he wrote, the second day of July, 1776, the second day of July will be the most memorable epoch in the history of America, the most memorable. Then why, dear comrades, are we so encouraged to forget it? Does anybody talk about the 2nd of July and the significance, the 2nd, the 4th, etc.? I've talked about this for years. Some do, very few. And it's a nuance, I understand, but the point is to raise awareness of our history and the significance of these things. And again, from John Adams back to James Otis in John Adams' own words, because John Adams wrote in a letter to William Tudor, June 1, 1818, he concluded the letter by saying or writing, I sincerely believe Mr. Otis, James Otis, to have been the earliest and the principal founder of one of the greatest political revolutions that ever occurred among men. And he finished that thought writing, it seems to me of some importance that his name and character should not be forgotten. Young men should be taught to honor merit, but not to adore it. The greatest men have the greatest faults, which sort of echoes Lord Acton, you know, power corrupts, absolute power corrupts absolutely. So, John Adams, James Otis, the second, the fourth, what is the significance? So John Adams wrote to Abigail, I am apt to believe that it will be celebrated by succeeding generations the second day of July, that is, as the great anniversary festival. It ought to be commemorated as the day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty. It ought to be solemnized with pomp and parade, with shows, games, sports, guns, bells, bonfires, and illuminations from one end of this continent to the other, from this time forward forevermore. And I think we could say that, you know, anytime someone seeks to encroach upon that concept, they ought to be viewed with perhaps treasonable speculation. What is your angle? What is your motive? Well, these things are dangerous. Have you seen Night and Day with Tom Cruise and what's her name lately? Safe and Secure. Are you safe and secure? So John Adams wrote these words, and I think we could really just sort of ruminate on the one sentence. It ought to be commemorated as the day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty. And certain words stand out in my mind. Commemorated, deliverance perhaps, solemn acts, devotion. Those are interesting words. John Adams also wrote April 27, 1777 to Abigail, posterity, you will never know how much it costs the present generation to preserve your freedom. I hope you will make it I hope you will make a good use of it. If you do not, I shall repent in heaven that I ever took half the pains to preserve it. Do we have any idea what these people suffered? I mean, speaking of the signing of the Declaration of Independence, it's sometimes discussed, particularly this time of year, the fate that the majority of the signers suffered. But I think these are, you know, concepts as we are plunged into the cybernetic, technocratic, communitarian milieu. You know, the technocratic society is the sort of architecture, and cybernetics is the rudder beneath the surface that's steering, that's persuading and influencing in mass psychological fashion. And the communitarian groupthink mindset is the kind of the skull cap that's imposed by this cybernetic rudder, so that we all behave exactly as Bertrand Russell surmised in The Impact of Science on Society. Diet injections and injunctions will combine from a very early age to produce the sort of character and the sort of beliefs that blah, 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 blah. Even though all are miserable, all believe themselves happy because the government will tell them that they're so. Which, again, sounds a lot like Huxley's Ultimate Revolution speech. So, John Adams also wrote, May 22nd, 1777, to Abigail, his wife, "I believe there is no one principle which predominates in human nature so much in every stage of life, from cradle to the grave, in males and females, old and young, black and white, rich or poor, high and low, as the passion for superiority." And beware, dear comrades, the cultural Marxist bent that would seek to exploit that vulnerability in human psychology, so to speak. So here's a fun little trip. I saw this article earlier today, mindbodygreen.com. "Are you manipulative? 13 behaviors to watch for in yourself," by Sarah Reagan, spirituality and relationships writer. I know. But it's interesting. This published, 3 days ago, I think. "Manipulation comes in many forms, and they're more common than you might think. From the occasional..." Yeah, but this is what we do, right? It's how to win friends and manipulate people, Dale Carnegie tells us. "From the occasional passive-aggressive comment to full-blown gaslighting on the regular, virtually all of us are manipulative to a degree." Well, especially when it's normalized. Kevin Dutton tells us about the wisdom of psychopaths, for Pete's sake. If you're here, you may be feeling like it's time to check yourself. So we ask the experts, what manipulation can look like, manipulative behaviors to watch out for, and of course, how you can work to stop being manipulative. But if you're that kind of person, then you're probably not reading this article. And so, yeah. What does manipulation look like? Manipulation is a mental tactic used to fool someone into doing what you want. You're kind of trying to trick them into behaving a certain way, whether it's giving you something, doing something for you, but without coming straight out and saying it, and instead trying to get them to do it without them knowing it, explains therapist and relationship expert Anne Barham. According to therapist and relationship expert Ken Page, everyone can be manipulative from time to time, sometimes without even realizing it. We're all human, and all of us manipulate because it's a human defense mechanism, he says. Right. Sometimes the motives aren't quite as inert, though, are they, dear comrades? There are so many behaviors that can become that can be considered manipulative with varying degrees of severity. The key is you're being manipulative if you want something from someone and you feel you have to finesse it out of them rather than just expressing what it is you're thinking, feeling, wanting, or needing. Manipulation stems from not being able to take responsibility for your own feelings and handle them in a mature way, Page says. If you're thinking you're being manipulative, you probably are, he adds. 9 ways you might be manipulative without realizing it. You'll go to great lengths to get your way, 1. 2, you have a hard time directly voicing your needs. 3, you project onto others. 4, you lie. Oh, you mean like with statistics? How to lie with statistics, maybe? A guide to number games, for example, where, you know, one chapter shows you how visuals can be used to exaggerate trends and give distorted comparisons. Like that, perhaps? You make people feel guilty. Manipulators are masters at guilt tripping. You don't keep promises. These all kind of sound familiar over the last 18 months or so. You know what I'm saying? You do nice things with expectations, of course. You punish people when you don't get your way. Some of this borders on torture, right? You're overtly persuasive, again, by the standards of Amnesty International's guide. And 9, finally, you're overly persuasive. Like Anthony Fauci, perhaps. We've already explained, we've already given facts, they're meaningless and useless and contradictory, but it's time that everyone just gets a shot. Get a shot, doesn't matter which shot, get lots of shots, get them all. 2 is good, 3 is better. That's kind of how he sounds at this point. 13 types of manipulative behaviors. Again, these sound very familiar. Gaslighting, passive aggression, verbal abuse, lying, withholding affection, love bombing, praising, complaining, guilt tripping, passive aggressively posting online, projective identification, feigning innocence, blaming. These are all very interesting. And there's more. You know, I don't want to get into this too long because I want to get to John Adams and his take on James Otis. But first, speaking of manipulation and certain things that we've been experiencing and certain things that we are, you know, we're getting the Jedi mind trick nonsense. The hand waving in front of the face, you know, these are not the drugs. No, that's not what we're saying. I have to find that quote. There's the guy who said it a million years ago, like 150 years ago. He says, we're going to tell them we're not doing the thing while we're doing the thing.
Imagine a...
Okay, so without further ado, thanks to James for sending this to me. You know, hat tip to InfoWars. This video is titled, Bill Gates' Founded Company Admits It Wants to Program Your DNA. Go ahead.
Imagine a world where we can do computation inside living cells.
The problem that we're trying to solve is really trying to have a more sophisticated diagnosis that can happen automatically inside cells.
Imagine a biological computer that operates inside a living cell. So for example, it could be used to determine whether a cell is cancerous, and if so, then trigger the death of the cell.
So here we're talking about little molecular systems that you can, you know, work that run in a test tube or maybe even in a live cell, so they're really small. The type of work that they're doing is essentially they're trying to sense, analyze, and control molecular information.
In this project, we're trying to use DNA as a programmable material.
DNA is highly programmable, just like a computer, and we can program a whole range of complex behaviors using DNA molecules.
So we're taking advantage of a phenomenon called DNA strand displacement.
So DNA strand displacement is essentially a competitive hybridization reaction. So it's two strands of DNA that come together, and as they bind to one another, a third strand that was initially bound is kicked off. One issue with like any biology research or biomolecular research is that it's always sort of a cycle of trial and error. You test it, it doesn't work, so you go back to the drawing board and you do that over and over again. And it's a slow cycle because doing experiments just is hard and it takes a lot of time.
We developed a language for programming molecular circuits made of DNA. So the programmer would write down a collection of DNA strands, and the software will work out how these DNA strands interact with each other and can be used to predict their behavior over time. And this kind of software could, for example, be used to detect and fix bugs in a molecular circuit design before that circuit is built. For decades, biologists had been using chemical reaction networks as a means of describing the behavior of biological systems. So what our technology enables for the first time is that any system described as a chemical reaction network can now be translated, implemented in biology at the molecular level.
One of the things that we've done recently, which I'm particularly excited about, is that we have created, designed, using our tool, and created experimentally is an implementation of the so-called approximate majority algorithm. At the moment, really, the technology is very much in its infancy. It's still very much at the research stage. So most of what we're doing is in the test tube. An enormous goal will be to have what we're able to do in the test tube also working inside cells. That's a hugely enormous challenge.
So this could enable a whole range of biotechnology applications. For example, it could allow us to both detect and treat disease to a level of precision that has not been possible so far. It could also allow us to make new compounds far more efficiently. These compounds could be medicines or biomaterials. And ultimately, it could allow us to make biological computers that operate at the molecular scale.
I know my husband is not vaccinating people and putting a microchip in her arm because that technology doesn't even exist and he's never uttered the words out of his mouth. So,
yeah, that's crazy talk right there. The so-called approximate majority algorithm. Again, thanks, James, for sharing this. You know, why am I thinking of Google's selfish ledger and that kind of work? And I don't know, movies and books, you know, books by Philip K. Dick, or, you know, movies like The Net and Enemy of the State and things like that. We can tell if the cell is cancerous and then kill it immediately. Well, let's define terms. What are we talking about exactly? So, the next clip, if we can do that, just a moment. You know, speaking of influence, persuasion, the nudge, when the nudge becomes a shove, and, you know, I mean, this is not news per se. You can see it, you can feel it, even though we're being gaslighted. Speaking of manipulating people, we've played that segment. Remember Bill O'Reilly interviewing, what's his name? Oh, gosh, now his name falls out of my head. Anyway, we'll skip that and play just a moment of this video from the Next News Network. Oh, okay, we'll skip that. We'll do it in the next segment here. And then we'll talk about this a little bit. And I'll find the name of the guy. And this behavior has been on the rise. So is it just a coincidence? Is it just accidental? Hayek told us back in 1945, this is what you can expect, what will happen. And as Jaron Lanier told us, it's important not to confuse consequential differences in timing. So just because we might be 50 years behind the worst, you know, sort of Stalinist regime here in America, doesn't mean that the same things aren't happening. Stick around, I'll be right back.
homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have? Do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank-you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
Reluctantly crouched at the starting line, engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up. Churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver and muscle for rank. Fuel burning fast on an empty tank. Reckless and wild, they pour through the turns. Their prowess is potent and secretly stern. As they speed through the finish, the flags go down. The fans get up and they get out of town. The arena is empty, except for one man still driving and striving as fast as he can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up. And long ago somebody left with the cup. But he's driving and striving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns. He's going the distance. He's going for speed. She's all alone. All alone in a time of need. Because he's racing and pacing and plotting the course. He's fighting and biting and riding on his horse. He's going the distance.
Welcome back.
Yeah.
All right, it was Bill O'Reilly's interview of George Simon Jr., PhD, the author of In Sheep's Clothing. At the time, it was In Sheep's Clothing, Understanding and Dealing with Manipulative People. It was that book interview that I was thinking of, where Bill O'Reilly was sort of mispronouncing manipulative people. Manipulative. It's a very curious interview. And we've played that clip. We've played other stuff. You know, George Simon has done a good job of shining a light on this. I think there's a reason that we're not supposed to remember that either, dear comrades. But in the interest of time, Next News Network video, just a little bit of this. Conservative talk host Jesse Kelly explains why Dems are always coming after your guns. Again, thanks, James, for sharing this. Go ahead, please.
Conservative talk show host Jesse Kelly explains why Dems are always coming after your guns. This is the NextNewsNetwork.com. I'm Elijah Schaefer, the host of the YouTube channel Slightly Offensive, and I'm filling in. Please check that you are subbed right now by hitting that red button below and turning on the bell so you're the first to know when news breaks. Well, Mike LaChance from the American Lookout reports that Jesse Kelly is a conservative talk show host on the First Network and is very good at getting inside the mind of the left and analyzing why they do certain things. Now, what tactics they use, and of course, what their ultimate goals are. During a recent episode, Jesse drilled down into the tissue of gun control and explored why Democrats keep coming back to this idea, despite its unpopularity. He said this, that Democrats want to take your guns because Democrats want the freedom to hurt you if you don't comply. Watch.
Have you ever thought about why Democrats are so anti you having guns? I mean, it gets uncomfortable, but that's what we do on this show, right? We talk about uncomfortable things and uncomfortable truths. Now we're about to get uncomfortable. You ready for this? It's creepy because when you actually dig into it, as I've always told you, Democrats want to take your gun because Democrats want the freedom to hurt you if you don't comply. There's no other explanation. There's not one. And this is where we make the mistake on the right. And I've made this mistake 1,000 times, too. I'm sure you have. And I'll even bring up some crime numbers and things later on in a minute so you can have some ammo to shoot down your crazy liberal cousin on Facebook or whatever. But you and I will say things like, well, what? Oh, they shouldn't want to take guns. The cities where the guns are banned or where all the violent crime is, the guns don't cause violent crime. And we bring up stats and things like that. Like I said, I'll give you some here in a minute. But when we do that, we're also missing the point. They know. They know. They're well aware that all the violent crime in this country takes place in cities where the guns are banned. They know that. They know there's never been a mass shooting at a gun show. Well, why not? If the guns are the problem, have you ever been to a gun show? I've been to a million. There are guns laying around everywhere. Everyone's wearing one. Everyone's selling one. Everyone's buying one. It's just nothing but guns. You can't walk 2 feet without running into one. But there's never been a mass shooting there. Why? Well, because guns are the problem. And you know, that's the same thing we've talked about 1,000 times. But the thing is, that argument doesn't shoot down anything for Democrats. Because again, they know. They know guns aren't the problem. They think you're the problem. And that can be hard for us to accept about our fellow citizens, right? Joe Biden, the people around Joe Biden, they don't lay awake at night thinking to themselves, what can we do to stop China?
All right.
Hey, we should contain.
We'll leave it there. The point is valid, though it is sort of infused with a, you know, an element of straw man. Limited hangout and otherizing that conflates the nefarious influence with other elements without getting into detail in the interest of time. But the pervasive influence is the socialist planner bent. You know, we want the freedom to be able to execute our plans without the interference of gun-toting rednecks, basically. And so back to Hayek's Road to Serfdom. As he reminds us of Chapter 2, the great Utopia, freedom of thought, they regarded as the root evil of 19th century society. And the first of modern planners, Saint Simon, even predicted that those who did not obey his proposed planning boards would be treated as cattle, quote-unquote. And then from there, skip forward to Chapter 12, The Socialist Roots of Nazism, the influence of guys like Johann Gottlieb Fichte, acknowledged by some somewhere in history as the father of socialism and national socialism. Stick around, we'll be right back.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk. Real people, because you can handle the truth.
Xtendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Xtendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Xtendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Xtendivite may just be for you. Xtendivite is an all-natural supplement. Xtendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Xtendivite.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com. Where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org. And click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Feel it's their appointed duty. They keep trying to tell me, all you want to do is use me. But my answer, just keep on using me until you use me up.
Welcome back.
Until you use me up.
Bottom of the second hour of this Independence Day broadcast, Friday, July 2nd, 2021. But it's not the 4th of July. I know, I explained. I do this every year. So quickly, and then to the phones. And then hopefully back to John Adams and James Otis. You know, when we hear these things, those two clips that we played, and, you know, speaking of, am I manipulative? The people who really need to read articles like that, they're not reading them for obvious reasons. They're reading Kevin Dutton's book, The Wisdom of Psychopaths. And, you know, speaking of that, from the article, uh, For certain personality types, such as sociopaths and narcissists, manipulation is simply part of the package, Page adds. But generally, there is a spectrum, and in most cases, the more trauma, the more potential a person has to make a manipulative turn for the worst, which is particularly interesting. Think about that. So are we spiraling downward here in American society these days? The more trauma, the more potential a person has to make to take a manipulative turn for the worst. Are we all, is this a race to the bottom now in America? I hope not. I hope that we lean more toward John Adams' admonition in his letter to Abigail, July 3rd, 1776, than, you know, this thing. So with those clips and all of this in mind, I think of Fred Hampton's words. You'll come up with, you know, you start asking questions about this stuff. Why are you doing that? What about this? What about, you know, and even the strategy of tension stuff with all of the convenient coincidences of timing, like Independence Day, suddenly it's hot and you're not supposed to go outside or don't even use sparklers or anything like that. It's dangerous. It's all dangerous, little children. You start asking questions, and like Fred Hampton said, you'll come up with answers that don't answer, explanations that don't explain, and conclusions that don't conclude. And this kind of manipulation has a tendency to get any red-blooded American hopping mad, I would say.
Dirty, perkish, hark-a-back, flattened, Borton, Philip, Bunker, Burton, Perkaluma, Burton, Durton, Bush, Madden, Martin, and Adam.
Exactly. Like that. You know? It's upsetting. And that is also part of the planned response. And so the last thing I'll say about all of this, you know, because, again, speaking of Hayek's Road to Serfdom and Chapter 2, The Great Utopia, the French writers who laid the foundations of modern socialism had no doubt that their ideas could be put into practice only by strong dictatorial government. To them, socialism meant an attempt to terminate the revolution. So you spark the revolution, and then you terminate the revolution by a deliberate reorganization of society on hierarchical lines and by the imposition of a coercive spiritual power, quote unquote. It's called nation building, Chris. It's what, yeah, but nation building is synonymous with terrorism. It's like two sides of the terrorist coin. You foment terrorism, and then you perform so-called state-sanctioned terrorism in the form of nation building. And, you know, you remake the world order, blah, blah, blah. The voice of Kissinger. Anyway, last but not least, last point, and then to the phones. Again, from Chapter 12 of Hayek's Road to Serfdom, The Socialist Roots of Nazism. The connection between socialism and nationalism in Germany was close from the beginning. It is significant that the most important ancestors of National Socialism, Fidde, he names Fidde first, Fidde, Robertus, and LaSalle, are at the same time acknowledged fathers of socialism. And, you know, so speaking of hopping mad, a society that is basically groomed in the fashion of Johann Gottlieb Fidde, but not told so, makes my blood boil. It's very irritating. You know, erroneously attributed to Hegel, for example. But Bertrand Russell is instructive and reminds us, while theoretical socialism in its Marxist form was directing the German labor movement, the authoritarian and nationalist element receded for a time into the background, but not for long. From 1914 onward, there arose from the ranks of Marxist socialism one teacher after another, who led not the conservatives and reactionaries, but the hardworking laborer and idealist youth into the National Socialist fold. And today, what's going on? There isn't a young person you can find that doesn't extol the virtues of socialism, and the more nationalistic, the better, it seems. It was only thereafter that the tide of nationalist socialism attained major importance and rapidly grew into the Hitlerian doctrine. But lest we forget, let's bear in mind chapter 10, Why the Worst Get on Top, and I think Jordan Peterson's reminder of, you know, how a totalitarian society is actually formed, lest we think, you know, we erroneously misremember, sure, Nazi Germany because Hitler. No, it's the opposite. So continuing, the war hysteria of 1914, which just because of the German defeat was never fully cured, is the beginning of the modern development which produced National Socialism. And it was largely with the assistance of old socialists that it rose during this period. So, you know, that's my argument. That's always been my argument, basically, you know, that and the planning. It's these latent seeds of animosity, hostility, and conflict that ultimately are how do you say it? You know, promulgated to smolder, basically, that then end up culminating in a raging inferno. And that's not accidental. That's planned. It's always planned. But again, back to the revolution and terminating the revolution, reorganization of society on hierarchical lines by the imposition of a coercive spiritual power. Instead of leaving people free to think for themselves and to discover that if I behave in a respectable, virtuous, moral, and religious sort of fashion, and we all do that, then we have a homogeneous society and good things happen, which is why certain guys said along the way only a virtuous people are capable of freedom. As nations become corrupt and vicious, they have more need of masters. And bad guys are like, yeah, we need to do that. We need to get them to do that so that we get them all upset and fighting amongst each other, saying things like that dirty Perkish shark back flattened portin fill a bunker in, as Yosemite Sam would say. To the phones, Brian in Washington, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hey, Chris, I got a perfect Independence Day celebration. It's a three-part. So first would probably be that, you know, you get your family together and hopefully in a enough of a off the beaten path location that you could say, okay, this year we're not going to do any Chinese fireworks. The weather manipulators, the climate changers, are too dangerous. They've taken over the entire world, and we don't have 5 or 10 fire trucks that shoot up into trees 60 feet. So how could we possibly be using fireworks in this kind of a situation? So, of course, the 12 and 13-year-olds are going to say, well, what? That's not how, what? Well, then you say, but, and this is, I guess, the third part of my perfect 4th of July, but we are going to waste a lot of ammunition doing practice shooting. Grandma from the front porch will be hitting that piece of plywood with a variety of firearms to show you kids that you need to know how to do this. So that's third part. But the second part is, okay, we had a nice meal together. Now we're going to try and explain why we aren't going to do this and why we need to act in this way. We can't celebrate Independence Day because, you know, Billy Joe or Susie Q is going to read orally to all of us the wiki page from the Hudson Bay Company. And that is going to help to explain, we never parted company with Great Britain. So we can't be continuing with this. What is being told in the school schools, as you know, is inaccurate. And mm-hmm. with the amazing thing called the internet, facts can actually be dug up. If you've ever read that wiki on the Hudson Bay Company, especially mm-hmm. as a Pacific Northwester, you
yeah.
would really enjoy it. It's quite long, mm-hmm. but I can just yeah. see some kids reading that to the whole gathering of
We've
people.
We've discussed it on this broadcast in the past. Yep.
Excellent, excellent. So in addition to that, of course, there's going to be a lot of head-scratching and wanting to, let's get up to date on this patriot, flag-waving, constitution-believing, what Mike Gaddy, who does a regular broadcast at Revolution Radio, calls Americanus, Bubus Americanus, and it includes as many on the right as left. If some of that kind of information could be played, you know, in an MP3 or player with speakers out in the middle of a campfire to get people up to speed on this and the whys and hows of why we can't buy fireworks from China and why we're going to do target training under very, very safe, rigid conditions so nobody would ever get hurt. That's my perfect 4th of July, Chris. I know you got other things you want to pack in your broadcast. I'll get off, or you could give me a comment if you'd like.
I like it. I think it's fantastic, you know, and so two things maybe as a companion. Carol Quigley's The Anglo-American Establishment with the flag that sort of, you know, the cover of the book with the British Union and the American flag inset upside down and backwards. Why is that? And also the East India Company, the Dutch and British East India Company. And that flag, by the way, all I would say together, you know, maybe those would be companions to the reading, the oratory that you mentioned. I think that would be great.
It is a challenge to catch these adolescents, but they are a mm-hmm. lot smarter than we give them credit
Absolutely.
For.
And to your point, I would also add that, I mean, I have personal experience where when you start talking to them about, you know, if they're fed this nonsense that they know is nonsense in the so-called history books, that's when they get the MIGO. My eyes glaze over and they can, you know, they start doing that neck snapping thing. But when you start talking about this stuff in real history, then they snap awake and they're like, oh my gosh, really? Really? What? Yeah, here, read this, read that. And they find it fascinating. And I agree, they are sharper than they're given credit.
And they, you know, their grandparents treating them with respect, like you are not just some snot-nose with your damn device that doesn't know jack. You actually are cluing in, and I'm proud of you, kid. And mm-hmm. you know, kids like knowing that their grandpa and grandma feel that way about them. It could be a pretty powerful thing. I'm going to let you go, and thanks very much.
Thanks, Brian. Much appreciated. So if Admiral David Farragut could command naval fleets, you know, before the age of 13, then maybe these kids, maybe they should be treated, these young people, the same way. And I think that's why, you know, language matters. So when you refer to them as young men and young ladies, I think that has a positive influence, if there is such a thing. You know, if influence hasn't been entirely conscripted to nefarious ends, Machiavellian ends. I'll leave a comment there, and we'll go back to the phones. James in Vancouver, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Yes, sir. Called to wish you all a happy 4th of July weekend there.
Thank you. From north of the border.
Yeah, I was studying law at the University of London, And occasionally I'd go to Cambridge to do extra classes. And I had a really good constitutional law teacher. But the fact of the matter is, in the British system, there is no constitution. A lot of people might not understand that. No parliament is bound by any other parliament. That's the way they put it. Mm-hmm. Whereas in the United States, you have a constitution, which is a body of law which tells you what laws you can make and what laws you can't make, you see. There's a big difference.
Yep. We're in the throes right now here of, we have that system that you described, but there's influence and persuasion, and all must be brought along in tow by means of influence and persuasion. But like Bernays said back in 1928, that's an expensive program and difficult to maintain. So now for decades, they've been in these attempts to transition away to a more, direct and I would say tyrannical form of control, like what right. we're discussing.
Well, I was also going to say that people, you played a tape there of people saying that, DNA stuff is going to be no problem, or it's going to be a cakewalk, or we're going to be able to do all kinds of great things. Well, anytime you inject somebody with a high molecular weight protein or high molecular weight nucleic acid, you aren't going to get the same result with each person that undergoes those shots, you see.
Uh-huh.
For example, I was born with a peanut allergy. And the peanut allergy is so strong that I can walk by people who are selling things with peanut grindings on it, let's say. I used to happen in Taiwan all the time. They'd be rolling rice balls in peanut dust, and that would cause a reaction in my mouth right away. I wouldn't get super sick, but I could feel it. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And if anybody wanted to inject me, or if I were injected with a peanut protein, it might very well be lethal. See? And that's just the identity of the individual. And again, this sort of gets back to the whole idea behind the Declaration of Independence. All of that was based on what I call individualism, you see?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The freedoms.
Yeah.
Individualism is the key to liberty.
Yep.
And I don't want people to like me like Jordan Peterson. I don't care. And that is a real... You take people like Ben Franklin, some of these real individualist types, and I haven't read Adams, but I suspect he's the same thing. It isn't a question of whether you like me or not, or whatever. It's this idea of liberty in terms of individualism. And one of the main things that happened in United States was the invention of the Winchester, because you could go across the West in the covered wagon, your wife's driving it, the kids are there's a couple horses behind the covered wagon, and you're riding point with a Winchester and a Colt 45. There you are.
Yep.
It was all there. I think I might have mentioned it on your program, this scenario, right? And this is the real value, or some of the real values of America, you see. But anyway,
yeah.
And yesterday was our, celebration.
Mm-hmm.
And we just don't have the same liberties. We don't. And you take the European countries, they don't either, like... For example, Otto von Bismarck invented welfare for Germany in the 1870s, see? The price that gets paid for that is taxes, of course, see? And anyway, again, all the best.
Thank you very much. Much appreciated, James.
It. As Thanks, always. Kindly. Have a good day.
Thank you. You too. I wonder, maybe we could squeeze in. Yeah, so let me see if we can do this real fast. No time, but we'll try anyway. Because this comes to mind based on what James just said. And there's one more thing I want to see if we can do this real fast. And whoops. All right. All right. Maybe we can squeeze in just a moment of this. I think it's relevant. If we allow ourselves to be otherized and divided, balkanized, then we are in danger of the sort of Brazilianization of America, you know, and it comes through a variety of means. Anyway, can we play the JFK clip? Is that possible?
Remarks of the president to the American newspaper publishers.
1825, Mark. Can we do that? Skip ahead. Minutes, 25 seconds. We'll start there.
And to do it. It was early in the 17th century that Francis Bacon remarked on three recent inventions already transforming the world: the compass, gunpowder, and the printing press. Now the links between the nations, first forged by the compass, have made us all citizens of the world, the hopes and threats of one becoming the hopes and threats of us all. In that one world's effort to live together, the evolution of gunpowder to its ultimate limit has warned mankind of the terrible consequences of failure. And so it is to the printing press, to the recorder of man's deeds, the keeper of his conscience, the courier of his news, that we look for strength and assistance, confident that with your help, man will be what he was born to be, free and independent.
That's a perfect way to end today's broadcast. I will add to that, if you do a Google search for John Adams and James Otis, Google says 5.65 million results. But who's ever heard of James Otis? And these days, you know, at this time of year in particular, perhaps, we should be talking about what James or what John Adams said about James Otis, the earliest and principal founder of one of the greatest political revolutions ever to have occurred among men. That'll do it for today's broadcast. I hope you have a great Independence Day weekend. And as always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today.